Chapter 11. Millie decided that her mouth tasted the way her shoes might after a trip through the stable yard. Her eyelids were so heavy that she wasn't sure she could open them, or even if she wanted to. Her mind was blurry, her thoughts fleeting and hard to hold on to as she tried to remember where she was and why she was there. Wherever it wasn't very comfortable. Her back hurt, her ribs and arms were sore, and her neck was so stiff that it hurt to move it even the tiniest bit. It was a few minutes before she remembered the party the night before and the nice villagers she'd met. They'd offered her and her friends beds for the night. She couldn't recall if she'd accepted their offer, but she must have fallen asleep at some point.
"Psst, Millie."
It was Zoe's voice, sounding rough and scratchy.
"Are you all right?" she asked.
Millie shook her head, wincing at the pain in her neck. She was too muzzy-headed to focus on anything for long and had to fight to open her eyes. When she finally got them open, nothing made any sense. While she'd expected to see a wall if she was in a villager's hut, or leaves if she was lying under a tree, all she could see were rocks, dirt, and a pair of filthy feet in scuffed shoes. She was wondering who the shoes might belong to when she realized that they were hers.
"Millie," Zoe said again, her voice louder. "Wake up. We have to talk."
Millie groaned and raised her head, which she hadn't realized was hanging limp until that very moment. It was so bright out that her eyes began to water. She blinked to clear her vision, but her lids felt grainy and rough, making her eyes water all the more. It wasn't until she tried to rub her eyelids that she realized her wrists were tied and she couldn't move them. A rope had been wrapped around her waist and another around her ankles, securing her to something cold and hard behind her.
"I'm over here," said Zoe.
Millie turned her head in her friend's direction. Zoe was tied just like she was and secured to a stone pillar.
"I think the villagers did it. They must have put something in that cider. I didn't eat anything, and the cider was the only thing I drank."
"But why would they do that?" asked Millie. "They seemed so nice."
"I don't know," said Zoe, "but it can't be for anything good. Do you think you can free yourself? Maybe your magic."
Millie shook her head and winced. The movement had made her dizzy and made her headache.
"I can try, but I doubt it will work. My head feels funny. I don't think I can concentrate enough to do my magic yet."
"Why don't you try while I go see if I can find Francis? I shouldn't be gone long."
"But how are you going to..."
"Oh, yeah," Millie said, having forgotten for a moment that Zoe could turn into a bat. Things were getting fuzzier, almost as if she... A moment later, Millie's head sagged again. Millie came around the next time to the sound of crunching gravel and the swoosh-swoosh of rubbing scales. Her head was a little clearer this time, her mind not quite so muzzy. Zoe was gone, Millie remembered that she had been there, and no one else could have made the noise unless... What Millie had thought was a rock suddenly swung around and looked in her direction. It was a head, covered in dull red scales and attached to a long, snake-like body that stretched nearly 25 feet behind it. Millie thought it might be a snake until she saw that it had two legs and wings so tiny that it couldn't possibly fly. Seeing that Millie was awake, the beast studied her in silence, almost as if expecting her to do something. Nearly a minute went by while they watched each other before the creature said,
"Why aren't you screaming? The others always screamed, most of them quite loudly."
"Why would I scream?" asked Millie.
The creature snorted.
"Perhaps you don't know enough to be afraid. Don't you know what I am? I'm a dragon, and I'm here to eat you. Someone tied you up so you could be my dinner. I'm going to bite you, and my venom will make you writhe in pain before it kills you. Are you going to scream now?"
Millie shook her head. She wasn't afraid. After all, she was much more powerful than this creature, when she was a dragon. She was wary, however, because she wasn't a dragon now. As a human, she was as vulnerable to this creature's bite as anyone else. If she could hold it off for just a few minutes, she might be able to make herself get angry.
You're not really a dragon, so I don't know why you call yourself one. I know a good number of dragons. They all have real wings and can fly. I've heard about creatures like you. You're a knucker.
My, aren't we the expert, said the knucker. It doesn't matter what you call me. I can still kill you with one bite.
I thought knuckers ate rabbits and deer.
Or stray children. I ate a few, then got a real taste for them. When the villagers kept them at home, I destroyed a few of their hovels and told them they had to give me a girl a week or I'd destroy their village and kill them all. The silly things begged and groveled until I couldn't take it anymore. I'm a kind-hearted beast under this scaly exterior, so I made a deal with them. I told them I'd eat their children until they gave me a princess or two. I've heard that princesses are sweet and very tender, but I'm sure that will never happen. There hasn't been a princess around here in years.
The knucker began to scratch at the ground with his talons, and it took Millie a moment to realize that he was toying with old bones, all with deep grooves that could only be the marks of knucker teeth. Millie tried to get mad by thinking about the villagers and how they had betrayed her and her friends, but she couldn't get too angry with them. The bones scattered around the pillars showed just how many loved ones the villagers had already lost.
I tried eating the younger ones, but now I only eat the girls of a certain age, said the knucker. Too young, and they don't have enough meat on their bones. Too old, and they're tough and stringy.
You look to be just about right, he said, eyeing Millie with appreciation. Are you ready to scream yet? I'd enjoy eating you more if you screamed. You'd get your juices flowing then. I really like that in my food.
I'm not afraid of you, said Millie. I would be if you were a dragon. Of course, if you were a dragon, you could fly away from here and find your own princesses.
Fah! Flying is overrated.
You're just saying that because you can't do it. Why, I've seen dragons at the Dragon Olympics who could do the most beautiful loops and spins. And the flames! Why, Flame Snorter can breathe a flame nearly 100 feet long.
Aha! Shouted the knucker. I thought there was something about you. Your smell alone would give you away. You wear their stench like a bad perfume. If you've gone to the Olympics, you must be friends with the big dragons. They're soft-brained fools to befriend humans like you. They couldn't be any dumber if they tried.
How can you say such things? Said Millie, not noticing her skin beginning to prickle and the pressure growing behind her eyes. They are the smartest, most big-hearted creatures in all the kingdoms. Compared to them, you're nothing but a newt.
A newt! Shrilled the knucker. How dare you! I get sick to my stomach just thinking about those high and mighty dragons giving themselves airs when everybody knows that they crawl out of their shell one leg at a time, just like everybody else. And I've heard talk about your friend Flame Snorter. She eats gunga beans and hot flammer peppers to stoke up her fire. If that isn't cheating, I'd like to know what is.
Flame Snorter is not a cheater, Millie growled as the pressure filled her head and made her spine feel like it was burning. All the dragons at the Olympics eat gunga beans and hot flammer peppers. If you had ever gone, you would know that.
Millie's skull was already changing shape as the knucker cried,
Are you calling me a liar? I've changed my mind. I'm not going to wait for you to scream. One bite and you'll scream anyway. What are you doing? No, you can't. That's not possible.
The ropes broke with a loud snap as Millie's muscles grew. She stretched her neck, arching it over the knucker. Knowing that her wings were impressive, she opened them behind her and fanned the air.
You were wrong, she breathed, letting a trickle of smoke escape from between her teeth. I'm not a dragon friend. I'm one of those soft-brained fools. And guess what? I eat gunga beans and hot flammer peppers, too. That must mean I'm a cheater. Want to see how far I can breathe my flame?
How could you?
Stuttered the knucker. Millie narrowed her eyes and bent down so that her nose was almost touching his.
I would run if I were you,
she whispered in a menacing voice, and never come back here again. If I ever hear that you or any of your kind are hurting these people, I will hunt you down. I might even get my friends to help me. Maybe we can make a contest out of it. You'd better go now. I'm giving you to the count of three and not 1 second longer. The knucker ran so fast that by the time Millie had counted to three, all she could see of him was the dust he'd stirred up. Inhaling deeply, Millie shot her flame down the path he'd taken. The stream of fire turned the bones on the ground to ash, crisped the grass, and licked the ground 50 feet away. Millie thought she heard a pained yelp, but she decided that it was probably just wishful thinking. Beating her wings, Millie rose into the air. She could see the knucker now, tearing across the countryside as it headed toward the bog in the distance. Millie wondered who would suffer more if the knucker were to meet the will-o'-the-wisps. She was still feeling good when she dipped one wing and turned in the direction of the only village she could see. It looked tiny from a distance and not much bigger as she got closer. Millie was looking for her friends, but she wasn't surprised when a villager spotted her first. The sentry at the end of the lane, near where they'd entered the village the day before, saw her and began to ring the bell. Dragons have excellent eyesight, and Millie could see the look of terror on his face. While she couldn't be angry with the villagers for what they'd done, she didn't have to like them, and it gave her a certain sense of satisfaction to have gotten her revenge against them, no matter how small. She was circling over the village, watching everyone run for cover, when she saw Zoe flying out to meet her. Certain that her friend would follow, Millie flew just far enough from the village that no one could see her and landed on the ground with a sigh.
"Did you use your magic to get free?"
asked Zoe, settling on Millie's shoulder.
"I guess you could say that," said Millie. "Have you found Francis? They didn't hurt him, did they?"
Although she hadn't been seeking revenge against the villagers, the thought that they might have hurt her cousin made her consider changing her mind.
"He's fine," Zoe said. "They tied him up and left him in a cowshed. He told me that they told him they were going to let him out tonight."
"After they were sure we'd both been eaten," said Millie.
"Probably," said Zoe. "Francis feels just awful that you and I were taken. He was still unconscious when I found him, and he felt sick when I told him what the villagers had done. I told him that we were all right, but he feels like such a failure. You know how much he wanted to be our protector. To top it off, he wants to be an invincible knight, but now he's sure that everyone is going to know how easy it was to trick him."
"I have an idea," said Millie. "Francis has his armor in the acorn. Tell him to put it on and go to the center of town. I'll meet him there when he's ready. He'll know what to do after that."
Millie waited until she was sure that Francis had gotten ready before she returned to the village. No one else was outside when she saw him standing in the middle of the lane, brandishing his sword. Cupping her wings, she landed 10 yards away and roared, fluttering the thatch on the nearby roofs and knocking over a pitchfork and a scythe left leaning against a wall. Doors that had been open a crack slammed shut. Somewhere a small child whimpered. Francis's helmet clanked when he nodded at her in salute. Raising his sword, he took 2 steps and shouted, "Have at it, foul beast! You'll torment these kind people no longer!" Determined to put on a good show, Millie took a deep breath and exhaled flame at Francis, being careful to keep her fire away from the 2 flammable huts. Her cousin danced aside easily. Holding up his shield, he advanced on Millie with his sword aimed at her heart. Millie flamed again. The fire hit the center of the shield, flowed to the edges, and shot off the sides in every direction. Francis kept coming. When he was almost close enough to touch, Millie whirled around, lashing at him with her powerful tail. Francis leaped over her tail and somersaulted out of the way. Someone cheered in one of the houses behind her, stopping abruptly when Millie turned to look. On his feet again, Francis aimed his sword at Millie's neck. "Come closer, that I can separate your head from the rest of your body," he commanded.
"Come and get me if you can," rumbled Millie.
Taking another deep breath, she waited until he was in position, then blew a tongue of flame that she let grow feeble and die.
"The dragon's losing its fire," a villager said from a partially opened door. "The knight might have a chance after all."
Francis may have heard the man because he lunged at Millie and continued to chase her when she darted out of the way.
"I have you now!"
he shouted as they ran through the village and out the other side. Once the forest hid them from sight, they slowed to a walk. Francis called out and slapped the flat of his sword against his armor to make the sounds of battle, while Millie roared and puffed smoke into the air so it could be seen above the trees.
"I'm getting tired," Francis finally said. "Do you mind if we end this now? A little bit of blood would be really convincing."
"Forget it, Francis," said Millie. "There's no way I'm going to let you poke me with your sword. Why don't we try this instead?"
With a final roar of anguish and a great puff of smoke, she rose into the air and flew in the direction of the village, letting one leg dangle limply and doing her best to make her flying look ragged and uneven. Hearing the villagers cheer below her, she let her head droop and flew off even more slowly, landing when she saw Zoe. Her friend was a human once again when Millie found her.
"Francis said he'd meet us here," Zoe said. "I hope he appreciates this," grumbled Millie as she sat down with a sigh. "This is the last time I'm going out of my way to make anyone look like a hero."